I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, March 12th, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild and dystopic ride it is, to be sure. It really is, in ways that are incomprehensible to most. But here we are, gathered for another cathartic moment. It's Friday, so we'll try to keep it sort of light and, I don't know, maybe existential. We'll see. Phone lines are open. Usually on Friday, I want to try to just, you know, reserve the time mostly to your thoughts and things like that, or, you know, dialogue, a civil discourse, if you will. So, the local call-in line, if you have free long distance, 512-248-8252. And, again, 512-248-8252. And in other cases, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So I was sort of thinking this morning, it's interesting, you know, Psalm 19, verse 7, or excuse me, I'm sorry, Psalm 20, verse 7, mentions the concept, you know, of boasting, in this case, in military might. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord, our God. And this is an interesting passage. It's not just interesting in isolation, you know, by itself, but it's also interesting in its context because Psalm 20 and Psalm 21 actually are kind of a royal psalm that are Psalms of David, and talking about the king, I would say, as sort of an analogous to Christ, an earthly king. But then the final verse of Psalm 20 reads, "Save, O Lord, may the King, capital K, answer us in the day we call." So, you know, it's this regal sort of concept. May the Lord do these things as a king. And then, you know, we will sing for joy over your victory. lowercase y, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord, capital L, fulfill all your petitions. You know, like the earthly king is, you know, and so the people are saying there is this sort of parallel that's being drawn by the people, and David records this psalm of the people, basically. Anyway, so verse 7 says, some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. And the technocratic counterfeit of that these days is that science and big data will solve all of our problems. Guys like Aubrey de Grey say that death is just a disease to be cured. Well, they haven't cured a lot of things. In fact, you know, there's evidence and an argument to be made that they've created more problems than they've solved. But, you know, there are these folks that say, science will cure everything, and we just need to query the data well enough, and then we'll have all the answers and life will be great. And it's kind of the technocratic way to subscribe to the witchcraft of scientism. Science is a religion. It's a very subtle, insidious sort of thing. Again, one of these things that's sort of imperceptible to most people. But when you stop and think about it, you start to go back and listen to these guys that have written about this and really studied it, coming through the pivotal kind of transitional moment in the, I would say, you know, that generation from the end of World War II into the 60s. You listen to what those guys were writing, guys like Jacques Ellul, and it's pretty fascinating. You know, what has happened is not a mystery. And now, you know, there's that book that's mentioned or shown in the Matrix, Jean Baudrillard's Simulacra and Simulation. And he talks about these 4 degrees of separation from reality. And it's a very sort of interesting concept. You start out paying tribute to the creator, you know, observing creation. And then you start worshiping the creation, kind of like Romans 1 and other places talk about. And then, you know, somewhere in this process, you start, you know, paying homage to the creation. And so from Simulacra and Simulation, if you go to the Wikipedia entry, Simulacra and Simulation, the stages, delineates the sign order into 4 stages. The first stage is a faithful image or copy, where we believe, and it may even be correct, that a sign is a, quote, reflection of a profound reality. This is a good appearance in what Baudrillard called the sacramental order. The second stage is perversion of reality. This is where we come to believe the sign to be an unfaithful copy, which, quote, masks and denatures reality as an evil appearance. It is of the order of maleficence. Here, signs and images do not faithfully reveal reality to us, but can hint at the existence of an obscure reality, which the sign itself is incapable of encapsulating. The third stage masks the absence of a profound reality, where the sign pretends to be a faithful copy, but it is a copy with no original. No original. Signs and images claim and represent something real. Claim to represent something real, but no representation is taking place, and arbitrary images are merely suggested as things to which they have no relationship. Baudrillard calls this the order of sorcery, quote unquote, a regime of semantic algebra where all human meaning is conjured artificially to appear as a reference to the increasingly hermetic truth, which I would argue we're at least in the third stage now, if not in the fourth. So the fourth stage is pure simulacrum, in which the simulacrum has no relationship to any reality whatsoever. And so I would say we're in the throes, deep into the throes of the third stage, headed toward, if not touching, into the fourth. Anyway, the fourth stage is pure simulacrum, in which simulacrum has no relationship to any reality whatsoever. Here, signs merely reflect other signs, and any claim to reality on the part of images or signs is only of the order of other such claims. This is a regime of total equivalency, where cultural products need no longer even pretend to be real in a naive sense, because the experiences of consumers' lives are so predominantly artificial that even claims to reality are expected to be phrased in artificial, hyper-real, quote-unquote, terms. Any naive pretension to reality as such is perceived as bereft or critical, bereft of critical self-awareness, and thus as over-sentimental. And so, perhaps as Exhibit A, I would offer, again, as I have many times, the preface to Jaron Lanier's You Are Not a Gadget, a Manifesto. And, you know, this was already written more than a decade ago, published in 2010. So, you know, we're already half a generation from when he published these words, and they weren't new then. I mean, this was a concept that was generations old. Again, you know, guys like Neil Postman, guys like Jacques Ellul, Marshall McLuhan, and several others were articulating the same kinds of things. And, you know, again, I mean, Jean Baudrillard's Simulacra and Simulation was published in, first published in 1981, published in English in 1983. So, you know, this is not news. But in Jaron Lanier's You're Not a Gadget, a Manifesto, this is what he says. He says it's early in the 21st century, this is 2010, and that means that these words will mostly be read by non-persons. And this is something that he thought about. Again, this is the guy who is considered the father of virtual reality technology and was making virtual graffiti in the 70s. They were talking about, you know, when you back out of your driveway and you're headed to work on Monday morning, maybe Ralph can send you a message that you see on the tree outside your house, you know, there on the corner of the street as you're pulling out and headed toward the office. Bing! As you pull out of the driveway on your way, there you see a little thing, you know, whether it's on your a heads-up display on your windshield or something like that, or your Google Glass glasses or whatever. You know, you have virtual graffiti that shows up, and you could send each other little messages, time stamped, you know, messages or whatever. So they were doing that stuff and talking about it back in the 70s. This is a guy who's been around and thought about this stuff for a while, is the point. So when he says these things, he didn't just come by this casually or, you know, suddenly. He's been at this for, at that time, 40 years, we'll say. So he writes, it's early in the 21st century, and that means that these words will mostly be read by non-persons, automatons or numb mobs composed of people who are no longer acting as individuals. And just to skip ahead, reactions will repeatedly degenerate into mindless chains of anonymous insults and inarticulate controversies. And yet it is you, the person, the rarity among my readers, I hope to reach. The words in this book are written for people, not computers. I want to say you have been doing, I want to say you have to be somebody before you can share yourself. And so it's fascinating. You know, we have been programming the machines for decades, and now for a while the machines have been programming the people. And that's not by accident. You listen to someone like Charlotte Isserby, for example, who talks about the Skinner box and operant conditioning and how this thing we call the modern education system is really nothing more than a Skinner box that is designed to sort of systematically institutionalize the operant conditioning model. And so you're being programmed like a machine when you go through that, and you're being programmed to think that's normal, and it's not. It's aberrant, and it produces aberrant and anomalous behavior. And so we're seeing the whole point of this is to say, coming back to simulacra and simulation, the four stages that Baudrillard mentions that I just read from the Wikipedia entry for simulacra and simulation, this is where we're at. And I've correlated this to Romans chapter 1 in the past. If you read after verse 18 in particular, what sort of follows, and the slippery slope, so to speak, where you really start picking up speed as you start careening down that slippery slope, this is what we're seeing, I believe, in the modern technocratic era. And so to sort of bring all of this full circle, you know, the people, you know, you think back 100 years ago when Freud said they don't realize we're bringing them the plague. And now we have all of this aberrant, systematized, institutionalized operant conditioning, which produces in scientific fashion the kind of aberrant behavior that guys like Theodore Adorno envisioned, the cultural Marxists, you know, the critical theory, Frankfurt School, Institute for Social Research guys. And so, you know, again, if you haven't read it, maybe go read Jeffrey Steinberg's May 2000 article from Lyndon LaRouche's Executive Intelligence Review titled From Cybernetics to Littleton, Techniques of Mind Control. And I mean, these are sick people. I read this passage from time to time, but this is what they were doing. So the authoritarian personality is sort of the definitive critical theory thesis. So there are these five studies, and Steinberg writes about it. So the authoritarian personality, just back up, I'll put all of this stuff out, I guess, you know, so that it's kind of a comprehensive thought. From that section of the article, Steinberg writes, the authoritarian personality, that's the section. The first of the two projects was launched. I'll leave it to the reader to get the context before this. The first of the two projects was launched in January 1943 by a team of three social psychologists at the University of California at Berkeley. Else Frankel Brunswick, a founding member of the Frankfurt Institute for Social Research, known as the Frankfurt School, Daniel J. Levinson, and R. Nevitt Sanford. What started out as a modest $500 grant to study the roots of anti-Semitism would soon mushroom into the biggest mass social profiling project ever undertaken in America up until that time. In May 1944, the American Jewish Committee established a Department of Scientific Research, which was headed by Frankfurt School Director Max Horkheimer. Horkheimer established a project called Studies in Prejudice with generous funding from the AJC and other agencies, including the Rockefeller Foundations. The Studies in Prejudice offered employment to a number of Frankfurt School members who, for various reasons, were not co-opted directly into the war effort. For example, Herbert Marcuse and Franz Neumann were brought into the research and analysis section of the Office of Strategic Services, or OSS, the forerunner of today's CIA. So I'll continue when we come back. Stick around. More after this break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
So let's just get through this little deal here. This is, you know, a lot of information, but there is a point. So we'll get to the point. And the point is, you know, what we're seeing today is the fruition of what these people envisioned and what they were trying to create, really. And it's a very sick and perverse, again, aberrant sort of society. And we'll get to that here in a second. So, again, the Studies in Prejudice offered employment to a number of Frankfurt School members who, for various reasons, were not co-opted directly into the war effort. For example, Herbert Marcuse and Franz Neumann were brought into the research and analysis section of the Office of Strategic Services, or OSS, the forerunner of today's Central Intelligence Agency. And so some very peculiar things happening there. And it's interesting how you know, I mean, if you remember Bill in Idaho, for example, he tells a story about how mom and dad both worked for the OSS, and it was a very patriotic thing at that time. And they didn't know any better, didn't know any different. And, you know, same kind of thing going through World War II. You know, it's a very patriotic thing. You couldn't tell these folks otherwise. And I've told a story about having a conversation with my grandmother in 2006 and saying, you know, after in the post 9/11 era, saying, "Grandma, you know, what is going on? Really, you know, this feels like a Stalinist regime." And she was like, "Whoa, whoa." And that just meant, you will, you know, cease and desist immediately. You will proceed no further. And my grandma was a small, not, you know, she was not a large lady. She was small and very prim and proper, a model of manners and etiquette, not in a superficial or condescending sort of way. It's just who she was. And so she rarely, you know, was really outwardly forceful, but this felt like one of those moments. And, you know, it was because you couldn't tell these people any different, you know. So anyway, it wasn't the image that we see portrayed these days. And it's kind of ironic, because the patriotism that they were sort of imbued with is different than how we feel today in America generally, largely as a product of these folks coming out of the Frankfurt School. Because, you know, the critical theory is a thing that, you know, in Marxist fashion, it criticizes everything. And it's not necessarily bad to criticize things or some things, but when, you know, I mean, how many people have been told, "Man, you just seem negative. You're critical of everything and everyone." Well, that's kind of a byproduct of these folks, the Frankfurt School and critical theory, criticizing everything and everyone. It's the Marxist way. So, you know, before World War II and the end of World War II and the Frankfurt School and the denazification of the world, including America, we really didn't have that. Certainly not in such a concentrated, virulent form or strain as we have it now in the post-Frankfurt School era in which we find ourselves. So, continuing, head amassing, Marie, Yehuda, Morris, Janowitz, and Theodore Adorno all worked on the studies, and under Horkheimer's direction, they all formally reconstituted the International Institute of Social Research, the transplanted incarnation of the original Frankfurt School of Weimar Germany. And so basically, you know, what's really fascinating, you get a hint of the germ that gave rise to the Nazification of Germany, if you will. And it was the same germ that was imported in the form of, you know, the Institute for Social Research / Frankfurt School. And this is the germ that's supposed to denazify the world. Of course, you know, this is why we keep playing the Malcolm X clip over and over. You know, they told you, "No, we're going to denazify," while they were nazifying the world. And of course, that's what the enemy does, tells you the opposite of what they're doing, just like Malcolm X told us. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? The wind and the wires made a tattletale sound, and the wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait, when the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind.
All right, welcome back. So, yeah, we'll circle back here in a second on this this other little revelation. Huxley's Concentration Camp of the Mind, another section of Jeffrey Steinberg's article, From Cybernetics to Littleton, Techniques of Mind Control. I've mentioned this article several times, keep talking about coming back to it, and just haven't done that yet. But, you know, one of these days, I don't know, maybe everybody's going to read it, and then we'll all know this stuff. We'll go off and investigate for ourselves, and then we can compare notes, and we won't need to, because we'll know this stuff. Not that knowing this is particularly vital and essential, but it just helps you understand the landscape that's been created. And, I don't know, maybe how to navigate it, or at least how to be sympathetic and empathic toward our fellow aberrant persona that is, you know, externalized. Not people, but these aberrant personas that are created, you know, in conjunction with fractured psyches that are a product of the plague that Freud brought us. So, continuing, the most significant of the five studies in prejudice produced for the AJC during 1944 to 50 was the authoritarian personality. And authors Adorno, Frankel, Brunswick, Levinson, and Sanford assembled a large research team from the Berkeley Public Opinion Study and the International Institute of Social Research to conduct thousands of interviews of Americans to profile their allegedly deep-seated tendencies toward authoritarianism, prejudice, and anti-Semitism. Dr. William Morrow, the leading protege of Dr. Kurt Lewin, who was one key bridge figure between the Frankfurt School and the Tavistock Institute, was a research director for the Authoritarian Personality Project. So, I mean, this is high-level stuff. This is kind of the apex of the conspiracy, basically. It's right up there at the apex of the conspiracy. You know, and you talk about this stuff, you try to say, you know, we've been sort of marinating in a manufactured system of control and manipulation in ways that are so subtle and imperceptible that you can't even talk to people about it, and people say, oh, that's crazy. And I have a friend who is, I would say he's a genius. I forget the word that you would use to describe him exactly, but he's one of those guys, you know, you watch The Matrix and the first Matrix, and that fight scene on the rooftop where Neo says to Trinity, do you know how to fly one of these things? And she says, just a minute, you know, hold on. Okay, let's go. And she gets the program downloaded for, you know, flying the helicopter. This guy is kind of like that. You know, he, for example, he's done corporate training, and they would say, we need you to train on Microsoft Excel, like tomorrow, basically. We need you to train for 6 months, do these seminars and stuff like that. I mean, literally, like overnight, basically, he becomes an expert on a subject, but he doesn't really retain it. So it's kind of like a RAM memory kind of thing where it doesn't ever get written to permanent and it goes away, but some of it doesn't. He thinks it's a bad thing. I think it's fascinating. He's brilliant. I think he's a genius. Anyway, he has, you know, done these fun little experiments where he'll sit down and start talking to a person somewhere, just a random person he doesn't know, asks two or three questions, and then he can start telling them what they think about various things, and he's spot on. Like, he will say exactly what they would say themselves, and it's just, they're astonished. How can you do that? It's because you're programmed. You're not yourself. You're not what you might call your authentic self, but I would call that redundant. You are externalizing a persona as a result of a fractured psyche, and you don't realize it. You're completely unaware of it. And so That's why the deception works so well. So this is what these people were doing. And today we're seeing the fruition of it. I would say, you know, to arguably its full extent. So continuing with this real quick. The study was an exercise in self-fulfilling prophecy and Marxist Freudian self-delusion. Long before the first survey questionnaire was drafted, Horkheimer and Adorno had written exhaustively about the authoritarian, quote-unquote, character of the American nuclear family, about the problem, quote-unquote, of the American people's belief in a transcendent monotheistic God, and about the underlying fascist character of all forms of American patriotism. They cooked the survey data in advance by devising a series of scales purporting to measure the American population's tendency toward anti-Semitism, ethnocentricity, anti-democratic ideology, and ultimately fascism. Not surprisingly, the research team found that the American public, you know, found the American public guilty as charged and produced dire warnings that unless a dramatic overhaul of the American ideology and mass culture were carried out, America would soon emerge as a Fourth Reich, repeating the horrors of Hitler on an even grander scale. But actually what they were doing, again, this is where we should play Malcolm X, you know, the media manipulation clip perhaps, because the enemy was telling you the opposite of the truth, as is, you know, always the case. In other words, they were saying, unless we hurry up and do something about this, America will soon emerge as a Fourth Reich. What they were really doing was trying to create the Fourth Reich in America by Nazifying America and the rest of the world. So continuing, the authors of The Authoritarian Personality let it all hang out in the concluding chapter of the book, Steinberg writes, in which they summarized their findings and spelled out their recipe for social transformation. And this is where we come to the point of the context that I was talking about for the aberrant behavior that we're seeing today that is, you know, it's not even people, I would say. It's aberrant behavior externalized in a form of personas as a result of fractured psyches. This is not people. This is not authentic behavior or any of that kind of thing. And there's a point to that, but we'll get to that in a second. So the authors of The Authoritarian Personality let it all hang out in the concluding chapter of the book, which they summarized their findings and spelled out their recipe for social transformation. Quote, it seems obvious that the modification of the potentially fascist structure cannot be achieved by psychological means alone. The task is comparable to that of eliminating neurosis or delinquency or nationalism from the world. These are products of the total organization of society and are to be changed only as that society is changed. It is not for the psychologist to say how such changes are to be brought about. The problem is one which requires the efforts of all social scientists. All that we would insist upon is that in the councils or roundtables where the problem is considered an action planned, the psychologist should have a voice. Right. We want the bringer of the plague to have a seat at the table and not be on the menu, as bad guys like to say, which is a weird esoteric turn of phrase that may beg, you know, some pondering. We believe that the scientific understanding of society must include an understanding of what it does to people. I agree. In a confined sort of context, not in the sense they're talking about, but yeah, you want to understand what they're trying to do to you. And that it is possible to have social reforms, even broad and sweeping ones, which, though desirable in their own right, would not necessarily change the structure of the prejudiced personality. For the fascist potential to change or even to be held in check, there must be an increase in people's capacity to see themselves and to be themselves, right? Whatever selves these guys want to make them into anyway. This cannot be achieved by the manipulation of people, however well grounded in modern psychology the devices of manipulation might be. It is here that psychology may play its most important role, techniques for overcoming resistance. Well, that doesn't sound manipulative at all, does it? Developed mainly in the field of individual psychotherapy, can be improved and adapted for use with groups and even for use on a mass scale. So techniques for overcoming resistance on a mass scale doesn't sound manipulative at all, does it? The authors conclude with this most revealing proposition, Steinberg adds, quote, "We need not suppose that appeal to emotion belongs to those who strive in the direction of fascism, while democratic propaganda must limit itself to reason and restraint. If fear and destructiveness are the major emotional sources of fascism, Eros belongs mainly to democracy." And so Steinberg continues, "Eros was precisely the weapon that the Frankfurt School and their fellow travelers employed." This is the Freudian Bernaysian model, you know, the will to pleasure, the pleasure principle. "Over the next 50 years, to create a cultural paradigm shift away from the so-called authoritarian matrix of man in the living image of God, imago viva Dei, the sanctity of the nuclear family and the superiority of the republican form of nation state over all other forms of political organization. They transformed American culture toward an erotic, perverse matrix associated with the present politically correct, quote-unquote, tyranny of tolerance for dehumanizing drug abuse, sexual perversion, and the glorification of violence. For the Marxist Freudian revolutionaries of the Frankfurt School, the ultimate antidote to the hated Western Judeo-Christian civilization was to tear that civilization down from the inside by turning out generations of necrophiliacs. If this statement seems harsh, consider the following. In his 1948 work on the philosophy of modern music, Frankfurt School leader Theodor Adorno argued that the purpose of modern music is to literally drive the listener insane. He justified this by asserting that modern society was a hotbed of evil authoritarianism and potential fascism, and that only by first destroying civilization through the spread of all forms of cultural pessimism and perversity could liberation occur. So we're going to free you from, you know, perversity by plunging you into and immersing you in nothing but perversity. That makes sense. Not. On the role of modern music, he wrote, quote, "It is not that schizophrenia is directly expressed therein, but the music imprints upon itself an attitude similar to that of the mentally ill. The individual brings about his own disintegration." The individual brings about his own disintegration, and he pays for it, you know, in the form of the music and the pop culture and everything. He imagines the fulfillment of the promise through magic, but nonetheless within the realm of immediate actuality. Its concern is to dominate schizophrenic traits through the aesthetic consciousness. In so doing, it would hope to vindicate insanity as true health. Necrophilia, he added, is the ultimate expression of true health, quote unquote, in this sick society. And so, you know, there's more, obviously the article is longer, but just to conclude, again, going back to this section, Huxley's concentration camp of the mind. So what is the threat? What is the ultimate threat to this? And this is, again, sort of why I've come full circle just in the last few weeks, the seismic shift in this broadcast. What is that all about? And it's not because of this article or what's expressed in it, but this is just sort of evidence of my point of why I'm focused more on the solution, if you will, than the problem. So from the section titled Huxley's Concentration Camp of the Mind, Huxley's cohort in the 1950s experimentation with psychotropic drugs, Dr. Timothy Leary of Harvard University's psychological department, provided another glimpse into the perverted minds of the Russell Huxley Frankfurt School crowd. In his autobiographical account of the Harvard University psychedelic drug project, Flashback, Leary quoted Huxley, quote, "These brain drugs, mass-produced in the laboratories, will bring about vast changes in society. This will happen with or without you or me. All we can do is spread the word. The obstacle to this evolution, yeah, what is the obstacle? The obstacle to this evolution, Timothy, is the Bible, end quote. Leary then added, quote, we had run up against the Judeo-Christian commitment to one God, one religion, one reality that has cursed Europe for centuries and America since our founding days. Drugs that open the mind to multiple realities inevitably lead to a polytheistic view of the universe. We sensed that the time for a new humanist religion based on intelligence, good-natured pluralism, and scientific paganism had arrived. So, the obstacle, dear Timothy, is the Bible. There you have it. Stick around, we'll be right back.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. ship was the pride of the American side. Coming back from some
final segment of the first hour of today's broadcast. To the phones, Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris. You like to know the people out here listening.
Yeah.
I'm happy to call. So what we have is a Governor Inslee very regularly, he feels comfortable calling up a news conference, and it goes out on YouTube, and you're familiar with this move forward meme that is quite often used. I remember Hillary was big on it. So there is a magazine probably out of Israel, and I look for these community, communal words. So I'm just going to read the opening to thisforward.com.
So,
go ahead.
Let me just say, in Orwellian fashion, this correlates to what I've been talking about. You know, again, the enemy is going to tell you, you know, forward, progress, progressive, you know, all of those kinds of things. And it's funny how progress always correlates to what people identify as kind of a leftist movement. In Western culture, left is backwards. And so what they're really doing is running a psychological operation where they tell you that regress is progress and backwards is forwards. Anyway.
So before I read this.
But, you know, since all of the news outlets are saying it and media and everywhere, it's everywhere, then, I mean, for you and I to say that, you know, for us to say otherwise is, I mean, we must be heretics. Anyway.
So it wasn't the great Gov Inslee himself, but one of his experts that he brought in. He said yesterday, we're going to move forward together in unity. And, of course, equality and equity, we got to sprinkle those little tidbits over this meme as well. Anybody that read Nikki's work would be having some alarm bells go off. But back to this forward.com, it's in these historic times, the Forward is keeping the community informed and connected with powerful reporting, inspirational storytelling, and crucial communal conversations.
Actually, let's take that and do that whole thing at the beginning of the second hour.
Right.
Don't hang around and do that?
Yep.
Okay.
Do anything you
want.
Do that. Sure.
Okay, stick around, folks. We'll be right back. Second hour coming up right after the short break.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.